Welcome to CT Bites Hot Dish. I'm Marisol Castro. You know, it takes a village to run anything, and CT Bites is no different. I've mentioned that on this podcast, I would wrangle the roving cast of CT Bites editors to talk about all the things they do. Well, the wrangling has begun with Kristen Wolf, Andrew Dominic, and the boss lady herself, Stephanie Webster. Cue the sizzle. You're all here. Hi, guys.
We are.
Ching, ching.
Chin, chin. We are, let's clink our glasses with $100 bourbon, I'm told. Chin, chin. I'm taking a sip.
I think we should all take a sip.
Delicious.
Delicious.
That's how you start a podcast.
This is how you start a podcast. Thanks for joining us. We are in Casa Webster in the Nutmeg State. As I mentioned at the top, joining me is Kristen Wolf, one of the food editors, Andrew Dominic, another food editor, and the brains behind the CT Bites Enterprise, I'm calling it.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. It's Steph Webster. Thank you, first of all, for inviting us into your home, Steph.
My pleasure.
I brought us an Irish soda bread, to which Andrew immediately said, "Aren't you Puerto Rican?"
I just said it was nice and hot.
Well, thank you.
It is actually really good, by the way.
Thank you very much. And you, Andrew, you were like, are we allowed to drink on this thing? So it was befitting that we looked at Steph's bar, which is behind us.
Very impressive.
For those of you who are listening, it is a well-stocked bar.
With proper straws.
I like my booze. They're paper, not plastic.
And swizzle sticks, I might add.
Oh yeah.
And so we went straight for the gusto. What is this that we're drinking?
I picked it out right away because I noticed the Whistle Pig, the Boss Hog. That's a nice bottle of rye. Yeah. So what does that retail for, Steph? $100? Easy?
Yeah, 80, 100, something like that.
I've had one sip and my throat is still hot.
I think it feels good.
That's the goal.
I love it.
That's the goal, right.
It is delicious. I'm not a rye drinker, but I think I will quickly become one by the time we finish this.
It's a good spirit.
Catcher in the rye.
Oh, look at you, says the professor, which we will get into a little bit later. So, Steph, for our readers and our listeners, how the hell did you come up with this? CT Bites.
Well, it's a long story, but I will keep it short. So I grew up in Manhattan, did a little stint in Seattle, came back to Connecticut, and my background is photography, new media, did that whole interwebs thing, and I came back here and was looking for food. I've always been obsessed, and I couldn't really find a great resource around here. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start my own.
Yeah.
And never, you know, intended for it to be a business, and here we are 10 years later. And we have a podcast. So
that
is how we started. I went from wrangling friends to, you know, when you had no budget in the very beginning.
Right.
And the funny thing is, CT Bites, there's a little double entendre in there.
I'm so glad you said that because I know the story.
I've been waiting.
Yes.
I've been waiting for this.
I know the story. And ladies and gentlemen.
So I wasn't super pumped to be moving to the burbs. And so CT Bites, man, it was on the fence. I didn't know. It could have gone either way.
But tell us the etymology. You were saying that CT actually bites. As in the food
it
scene
could,
was the yes. pits.
It was, but you know what? It's come a long way out
evolved.
Here.
I've been here 10 years and I cannot believe the changes I've seen.
Lucky for us.
Yeah, I've been here all my life though.
Thank you.
I saw it kind of evolve into nothing and then it was something. It's like now, I don't think there's many bad restaurants in certain cities here, like Norwalk, where I'm from. I was born and raised.
Big up to Norwalk.
There's not many bad restaurants in Norwalk. If you're bad, you're not in business.
Right.
So. Wow.
And I think that's also indicative of the day and age. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got to eat, and people have opinions about food. And chefs and people surrounding the culinary world, they work really hard, whether you're washing dishes or on the line or serving, whatever the case may be.
And life
is not an easy business.
Life is too short for bad food.
Exactly, the tagline.
Had to throw it in.
Andrew, since you were telling us you're from Norwalk, how did you get roped into this woman's web of stuff?
That's an even bigger story, but I'll try to keep this as short as possible. But when I went back to school for journalism at an older age, I was 25 when I went back to school, and I was doing some blogging kind of on the side as a hobby. And a friend of mine that I was going to school with, he said, "Hey, there's this website you should check out, CT Bites." And he actually wrote in, I don't even know if Steph even remembers this, but like he wrote in and was like, "Hey, I've got this friend, you should talk to him." And that's how Steph and I got connected. And I think my first piece was Beach Burger that opened in East Norwalk years ago.
Oh my gosh.
Old school.
Yeah. Didn't even get paid then.
Nice. And it's been just hugs and kisses ever since.
That's true. And now we're homies, I think.
Mm-hmm. Homies.
I like to think so. Mm-hmm. I hope so.
Homies, homies. Thank you very much. Now take a sip of your bourbon. I just did while you two were talking.
Oh. And it's still yeah. delicious.
It is.
I know. I'm sweating.
No, but it's a good sweat, Kristen. How? Tell us about your journey into the CT Bites family.
Well, I'm a newbie. I think I'm the newest writer,
the newest
for
contributor.
CT Bites. Lot of things happening over the last few years. My son just started college. I moved, got a divorce, got a boyfriend. Finished up at Columbia, my second graduate degree. Whoop, whoop. I saw you went there.
I did. Go Lions.
So in addition to becoming a professora, I needed to write. I needed to get all that out. And I was trying all the big wigs and, of course, getting rejected left and right. And I thought, why? I'm living in Connecticut. Why am I not looking right in my backyard? Yeah. I'm eating in my backyard. Right. Why am I not writing about the places in my backyard? So I sought out a few places, including CT Bites, and Steph emailed me right away. Let's give this a try. And so it's been a few months. It's been really, really fun.
I have to agree. And I just have to remind our listeners, you are wearing the most fabulous pink t-shirt, the notorious RBG.
Yes.
With the crown.
Yeah, she's a superhero.
She's the bomb.
She is.
She might be our spirit animal for this episode.
Oh, do you mind?
Is that okay?
You guys, I'll let you have that. Yeah, it works.
Thank you. I also want to note that you do not look old enough to have a child in college. So.
Oh, I am 48, darling. Yeah.
It's all that good food keeps you young.
Exactly, the good food. And I guess now, bourbon.
Yep. Exactly, and bourbon. So, in the food world, can you describe each of you what life is like as a food writer? Do you consider yourself a food writer or a food critic?
I'd like to think I'm a little bit of both, because I don't just review. Sometimes I'm breaking news. Sometimes I'm talking to chefs. Sometimes I do a lot of things behind the scenes that people don't see, where I just take photos, or, you know, I've done a lot of site management and things like that. I think people think it's the most interesting life ever, and it can be at times. Like, don't get me wrong. I have a lot of fun. And I fully immerse myself in that world. But there's a lot of things that people don't see, like scheduling and meeting up with chefs and, you know, just trying to work around schedules and all that. It's just that back and forth emailing, it'll just drive you crazy.
The chefs are so predictable, right? And so great to schedule with.
It'll drive you crazy sometimes. But then there's a time when I'm alone and it's just me and my computer and, you know, or I'm editing photos or something like that. So the perception is that I'm out all the time, kind of just drinking and eating good food, but that's not true.
You're doing an awful lot of that. I have to.
I know. I'm watching your Instagram.
I was thank you, ladies. I was just going to say, you are like leading your best life right now.
Yeah. And that's the fun stuff, right?
It is fun. And, you know, I'm blessed that I write for a lot of different publications, you know, in addition to CT Bites. So, yeah, there are times when, you know, it feels like this has to be a dream. Like, I can't possibly get paid to do this.
I feel like that every day, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's great. I mean, I wouldn't change that for sure.
Yeah. So you feel like you review food. You're not, it's not your job to be a food critic.
I'll do some of that. Cause you know what? I do understand flavors and I can cook. And I mean, Steph can attest to this. Like, I'll hop back there on that grill at Blues Views and Barbecue every
year.
Yes,
you will.
No fear. So, you know, I'm not afraid of it.
And to be honest, sometimes the chefs are appreciative. Like, it's not our role
Is
to
that right?
go out there and, like, CT Bites, in terms of our brand and our positioning, we don't slam restaurants. That's not what we're there to do. Yeah. We're there to support the community. But chefs do appreciate when you say, like, you know what, this dish needs a little more jajavie, a little
something.
And that's
that
helpful
experience.
Because we have a good understanding of food and they're appreciative of comments and feedback. Now, if you go and write it on Yelp or on Facebook, less so. But, you know, tell them the truth.
That's a different story, right?
That's a different story.
Exactly. Or if you actually stick it in an article, like, you can approach a chef and say, hey, I wasn't feeling this. And you can even critique it in an article saying it wasn't seasoned enough or something like that. But there's a way to do it and not be a dick.
Right.
That's
right.
basically what I'm trying to say.
You could say, you know, the star of this meal was blah, 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 and mention the other without necessarily shining a light on it.
Exactly.
And that's a little bit of a clue where...
And
all right,
you do need to be cognizant of the numbers of people who are watching and following and reading. And you can destroy a restaurant really easily in this business. And we've seen a lot of that out there. So
Oh, yeah.
We'd be careful. Yeah, we'd be careful with what we write.
Lady Kristen?
Yeah, I like to say the same thing as Andrew. I don't just see what I do as a review. I tried to explain this to someone recently. I think I like to write what's over and under the plate is another way I put it, because I really get immersed, if I can, if the chefs let me, in their lives, what they do, where the interest and inspiration comes from. I might have said something, I've got something coming up called Cleaver and Curls, which is a pet project where we talk about the inspiration from our nonas and our abuelas and grannies. And a lot of that comes out from talking to chefs and hanging out with their grandmas. And I love those stories. So it's sort of an amplified review. You're going to talk about the food. That's the immediate piece that I think a lot of people are going to your articles for. But there's always so much more. There's always so much more.
Yeah, like I'll chime in on that. And I'll even say, like, you know, sometimes if you tell someone's story and they have a good story and people that are reading can resonate with that, are you going to eat at someone's restaurant that you don't like? Or are you going to eat somewhere because you think that person, oh, wow, that's really cool. They have a neat story, or they're a nice person.
Right. You know they care.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. I think, Steph, we had that experience with Tyler Anderson.
Yes.
Who was also on the podcast, and he talked about, I asked him, you know, do you ever put a dish out and say, oh my gosh, I nailed it? And he says, no.
Right.
Because he's always looking for more success. And I think that is, as a neophyte, I mean, I've been eating my whole life and cooking my whole life, like you. I like knowing that the person who's serving my food or who's preparing my food feels like, oh my gosh, I can do better. Because that's, then you come back. Because food is an experience. Mm-hmm. It really is. Steph and I have talked about this. A bad meal can ruin my night.
Oh, 100%. Oh, absolutely.
Gosh.
Yeah.
I will not go to such and such brand name place, even if it's cheap, even if it's next door. If I don't feel like I'm going to have a great experience, the ambiance is going to be great. I get a peek at the chef. I can watch people, you know, ooh and ah over their food. Forget it. I'll eat at home. I'm a pretty good cook too, so I'll just eat at home.
Yeah, and there's so many places to choose from at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's pretty incredible what's happening here. You think it's just happening in the urban setting, but suburbs are blowing up.
I am totally blown away after being in New York for 10 years, and then now I'm in my 10th year in Connecticut. I can't believe, as we said at the start, how much the scene has grown.
Yeah, to the tune of happy bellies everywhere. And now, a word from our sponsor, Norwalk Now, where businesses come together to bring you their city in real time. Experience Norwalk's vibrant dining scene, from quintessential New England fare and locally sourced seafood to low country cuisine, prime steaks, Italian favorites, Mexican eats, and high-spirited drinking wells. Visit norwalknow.org and meet the talented chefs, restaurateurs, and barkeeps who continue to raise the bar of our local dining scene. For restaurant news, special events, seasonal promotions, and more, visit norwalknow.org. I'm sorry, while you guys have been talking, I'll drink to that. I'm also destroying my own soda.
I know,
bread,
I keep like taking little crumbs.
Well, I've had at least 7 pasta fagioli burps while I've been sitting here.
My
boyfriend made the most amazing pot.
Oh, wow.
It was so cold yesterday. Amazing pot of pasta fagioli yesterday.
Right.
So we had it for lunch before coming over.
I'm the only one at this table who doesn't actually love to cook.
I know. I'm gonna let you out yourself. I know this about you,
people ask all the time.
You're
coming out.
Like,
I knew that.
People always say, you must be like an incredible chef and cook, and you must. And you're, I'm like, no, I would like to be served food 24/7, 3 meals a day.
Like, I'm a damn good eater.
I'm an excellent eater. I'm an excellent. I can order out like nobody's business. I am Jewish, you know, that's what we do.
Is that the stereotype?
It's what we do.
I mean.
But look, I can cook when I have to. I have 3 kids and I will do my thing. But I always feel guilty when you guys are talking about your wonderful food that you've made in your kitchen. Although I have had a recent life-changing experience.
Thank you. What would you like to share with
I feel like I might
friends?
Need to share. This is my PSA. I've recently purchased the Ninja Foodie. The Ninja Foodie is a combination Instapot and air fryer. And it is positively, and I'm not being paid to say this, this is not an ad read. It is the single best thing I've ever purchased in my entire life. I can cook a chicken 15 minutes. I got a 5-pound chicken in there. It's done cooking. And then I air fry for about 12 to 18. Done. Gorgeous.
Wow. Done.
Nice
golden brown
skin.
And delicious,
you Instagrammed
baby.
That shot of that gorgeous golden bird.
Wasn't
I saw that. It was pretty.
Yeah.
It
so
was
now I throw everything in that baby. Ninja Foodie, people.
Hope they send you a free one after that.
Well, yeah, I already had one, but I'm working on it. We'll see what we can do.
Since we're talking about you made this chicken, this bird.
I did make a chicken.
This bird. There is a little restaurant on the...
Oh, yes.
On the horizon.
Speaking of birds.
You like how I did that transition?
Yes, that was smooth. It must be the bourbon.
Exactly. I wish I were as smooth as that bourbon. What's it called?
Whistle pig?
The boss hog.
It's the boss hog. Obviously. I'll get you some.
It's the boss hog. Mm-hmm. They say that like I know what the hell they're talking about. I'm just drinking. Tell us about the latest and greatest openings.
Yeah,
that listeners and readers.
That is still lingering on the tongue. No, I mean, seriously, that was an incredible experience. Last week, a week ago today, Chef Christopher Scott of Top Chef fame, season 15, with Tyler Anderson. They're all buds. He had a pop-up for his upcoming restaurant, Birdman Juke Joint, and it really was a wild experience. I mean, everyone was jovial. They knew they were in for something big. He's been planning this for a while, bittersweet to leave Brooklyn. He had quite a following there, but he is ready to tell more of a story. We were talking about stories behind food, and he feels like the stories of these birdmen, the slaves who were allowed to own chickens. That was the only thing they were allowed to own and brought them out of poverty. He wants people to know that story. And he doesn't want people to just have a bite of great chicken and think, oh, okay, that was a bite of great chicken. Really know the story behind the hard work, what they had to go through to even own something. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, he doesn't want everyone to think of Southern soul food as just chicken and waffles. Right. Now, of course, we had some friggin' damn good chicken and waffles.
They looked really good.
I cannot tell you. It was almost in concert. Everyone saying, oh, you know, it was really the best fried chicken anyone had ever had, and the waffles. But he really raised the bar on grains and veggies too. Explosions in your mouth of flavor that you wouldn't expect from a vegetarian portion aside.
Wow.
It was awesome.
And this is in Black Rock, right? Yeah, Black Rock.
That's where it's Bridgeport, going to be. Yeah, but it was hosted at Cook and the Bear.
Right. Coming soon.
Nice.
Coming soon.
I'm super excited about that.
So tell us the name again of the
Birdman Juke Joint.
Like it. Get Run, pumped. Don't walk. What about you, Andrew? What are you gearing up to go eat?
Lately, I've been over to Hoppe in Mamaroneck, and I know you guys are going to say, oh, that's in Westchester, whatever, but you know, the piece will come out.
You cross the border.
Exactly.
Oh, but it's Hoppe Food Truck. There.
Same church, different pew.
Yeah, it is Hoppe Food Truck, and it's Chris Gonzalez, and he's basically taken his food truck, and he's inside of Decadent Ales, that's inside of Halftime, the craft beer store in Mamaroneck. I think there's a lot of crossover appeal, because Chris has a following in Connecticut. His food truck got popular here in Connecticut. And he lives in Stamford.
Well, there you go.
So he's kind of taken his truck, and he's got all the good truck stuff that he's known for. The tacos, you know, the burger with the purple bun.
Yes.
But he's expanded on that to kind of include things from his Filipino upbringing, culture. And, you know, Chris didn't go to culinary school, and he's not a classically trained chef. He just kind of worked his way up from being a busboy. And now he's got this cool following, and, you know, he's one of the nicest guys in the business. And I think Stephanie would even agree with that.
Absolutely. I mean, again, it helps with the following. Like, you want to support these guys, you know?
Oh, yeah,
they're like
for sure.
Cooking with their soul and heart, mm-hmm. and they're, you know, they give back to the community. That's a big deal.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, so we're excited for that one also.
Well, I'm excited for that one too. I wonder if we're about to be live in front of a studio audience. I told you guys, we are at Casa Webster. It is a fully functioning home. So, one of Steph's,
and my daughter has
one
just
of
arrived
Steph's
home.
Offspring. And she's giggling. Is that Sam or Becca?
Echo.
Cameo, Becca. Cameo.
Dun, da, da, da.
No, we'll spare you.
It's okay. You can, don't mind. Just have some soda bread. Come on through.
But not bourbon. No bourbon.
Feel free to have some. Feel free to have some soda bread. I'm wondering if you guys can name a really good meal that you've had other than the two that you just mentioned. Really good meal in your travels, whether it was for CT Bites or not, that you loved.
Oof, I've had a bunch.
Wow. Had a bunch too. What about, I would say.
That really is a difficult question.
I keep wanting to call it Okanor. It's Orinoke. Dan Cardos's spot.
Yeah.
Andrew and I went there recently. That was.
Where is that?
It is in.
Stratford. It's right across from like Sikorsky Airport, basically. It's in a plaza.
Yeah. And he's kind of doing the, he had Liberty Liberty Rock Tavern, which was like a bar, comfort food, but spectacular. He's sort of, he was cooking with Bill Tabey for a while. He's been around and he's an excellent chef, but now he's opened up here and it's a little bit sort of elevated.
Like American
food.
Tapas.
It's like American, yeah.
But he's, you know, keeping prices down, which is cool for the neighborhood right there.
And yeah, I like to hear that.
That's part of the concept, I would imagine. Like, he wants it to be affordable for people that live there and for locals.
Yeah. But so the food was excellent. So that was certainly one of my faves.
It would have to be, again, something that's resonating from just the last few weeks is Bread and Water, the old historic jail in Middletown.
It always looks so good.
Oh,
I always
another,
see that.
You're mentioning my alma mater.
Yes. The plating at that spot, it's just stunning.
It is tremendous. It's stunning. And if it weren't for the vibe, which is casual and fun, you'd be afraid to touch the plate. And he does say one of his goals is, or what he feels he does, is paint on the plate. And that's why I wanted to make sure to include that, because it is tremendous. And everyone who's commented on the piece or the pictures is what they've said. It's a piece of art. And he's so passionate and so hardworking. And it's a gorgeous spot. And the idea that it's in an old historic jail is just
that's
fun.
Just cool.
Yeah.
I literally got under his desk in his office by the kitchen.
to do what exactly?
observe the cellar arrest space. Arrest me. No. No, there's writing from the prisoners on the brick walls, on the rock, and some that you couldn't quite make out, but tell it was writing, was under his desk. And of course, his dad's trying to be all respectful and show me the part that's above the desk where you could still stand.
I want to see the old dirty stuff under the table.
Right. I got on my hands and knees and I thought, wow, that's interesting. But his food is amazing. His squid ink ravioli, out of this world.
I saw that fresh chocolate pasta. That looked insane. Yeah.
They're doing dessert pasta there, which is pretty innovative.
He is big on saying, no one else is doing this.
There's
trying
no one out here.
It's inventive. It's tasty. It's different. It's definitely different, but it's dessert. And pasta.
I've only ever had that in Italy. I haven't had dessert pasta
anywhere in Connecticut. I haven't had it outside of Italy.
It was quite an experience. It was very different.
Mm. Cool. Mm.
Which brings me to chocolate pasta. And you talk about... This is, I think, as someone who just enjoys going to restaurants, not as the host, but as just Joe Schmo living amongst, like everybody else, paying taxes.
Joe Schmo better be getting some royalties.
Hello. I often wonder, you know... I don't mind going to a restaurant and paying a lot of money, but the meal better be good, and I better walk out of there full.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that? You all go to far more restaurants than I go to. How do you see that in the general landscape of diners, especially our listeners and our readers who come to us because they want to know, where should I go next? Am I going to have to take it out, you know, a line of credit to have a meal for, you know, me and my significant others? Thoughts. I open it up.
I've got a lot of thoughts on that.
Can't wait to hear them.
I'll sip.
I'm usually pretty careful when I'm choosing to spend a lot of money somewhere. I have a birthday coming up in a few months, and I wanted to go to 11 Madison Park.
Ooh.
I probably still will, but maybe I'm going to do the bar tasting for $175 as opposed to the bigger tasting for like $325 or whatever it is.
Wow, right.
Somebody actually warned me. They were like, you know, hey, maybe... do the bar instead of that, because I had a meal there once and it was okay. It wasn't like all it's supposed to be.
So ease your way in.
And, you know, there are other things that you can do. Like, for instance, there's a spot in the city that I like, Momofuku Ko.
Sure.
David Chang's spot. Mm-hmm. Went there last year. I didn't do the tasting. Not because I didn't think it would be good. They have a bar portion where you can go in for like maybe $50, $75 a person. It's their test kitchen. So you're trying things out.
Love that.
And you can walk in on a weeknight and you'll be okay. And you go with a couple of friends, you each pick a few things. And that's kind of your sampling of, okay, here's some of the stuff we can maybe expect if we do the tasting. And you can go from there if you want to do it or not.
Right.
So I think that's a good idea too.
Well, I have a son now in college.
So your money is being well spent,
so
right?
So you don't have a penny to spend.
Right.
Right. And I'm a professor and a writer. Huh? The money's just rolling in. But that said, I do not skimp on food and I do not skimp on coffee.
Interesting.
I have clothes from 10 years ago if they still fit.
You have to get your priorities straight. That's right. Really what it is.
Hardly get my hair done or my nails done, but I will plan to go for a great meal. And like Andrew said, you know, maybe you should do family style and you pick a few different things so everyone gets a bite or two bites of something. But if you know the story behind the chef and the restaurant and you plan for it, it's worth it.
I also view dining as it's a performance in a way. It's, you know, if you're going to go and spend $200 to see a Broadway show, if I'm going to go to a stupendous 12-course meal, I'm all in. That's my entertainment for the evening. Right, I am happy if it's good food.
Right.
I'm happy to pay for it. Now, can you do that every day? Obviously not.
No.
But that's sort of how I make my peace with that. Those really expensive meals. You know.
Yeah, I've done a bunch of those. So it's a fun way to eat, though. Like, granted, like you're going to drop a few hundred bucks per person, but you're not only getting good food, you're also getting an education.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
And if you can, you know, find people that actually want to dine with you, because that's the hardest part is getting friends to family or anybody to say, hey, listen, it's going to be $250 a person.
That's why we all need each other.
That's true.
Exactly. To hold hands and sing Kumbaya. We know Steph doesn't cook. You cook. What do you cook at home?
Something I made recently around the holidays. I tried my hand at Chateaubriand for the first time.
Whoa. That's serious business.
I had never made it before.
And?
Came out perfect, spot on temperature, nailed it.
You don't have the ninja foodie.
The ninja foodie.
No, I tried to keep it real cool in front of my friends, and I was just like screaming inside my own head. I was like, yes, I got that. Like, yes, awesome, you know. But I rubbed it up with butter and herbs, and you know, it was just a nice piece of meat. I think I ate the rest of it that whole week. It was just good.
What about you, Kristen?
I do cook a lot. My boyfriend and I cook quite a bit. So if we're not out at a tasting for a piece
for us
for CD Bites, we're cooking in the kitchen. Like I said, he just made pasta fagioli yesterday. I did a riff on shrimp and Swiss chard with quinoa about a week ago. Inspired by Chef Chris Scott and his soul food, we did a pulled pork and sweet potatoes the other night.
Oh, yeah.
We're cooking a lot.
I want to hang out at your house.
Come on over. It's tiny. I downsized from a four-bedroom to a two.
Next time we record, we're going to your house.
We're going to Kristen's house.
If you don't mind a 100-pound German Shepherd, then come on over.
Have you seen the rabbits in this house?
I've heard them chewing.
I mean, I came early just to play with them. So
he had a rabbit interaction. It was very exciting.
They're adorable.
Well, as we wrap this thing up, if you guys could just each tell me the next meal you can't wait to eat.
Everyone's already unbuckling
their pants.
Well, I mean, honestly, the next meal that I'm going to eat is going to be at the cottage this
with
evening.
Me.
With you. As we do a wrap up. Yes. That's Brian Lewis, great chef, also owns Oco in Westport. And he's, you know, one of the best chefs in Connecticut, hands down. You got to put him in the top 10. So I'm pretty excited. His Wagyu buns are excellent.
I get that every time I go.
So good.
Yeah.
What about your buns?
It's a must order. Your buns are excellent also.
Well, he is in a dojo, right?
That is true.
Yes. We need to get ourselves into a dojo.
That's a whole other separate episode I have to do on you, Andrew. You and your martial arts. Holy smokes. I pity the fool.
me too.
Who crosses your path in the wrong way.
Just beat on my students now. It's fine.
I'm hoping for, I keep putting off, but I've been to Lucia in New Milford, really nice, kind of unsung Italian restaurant. So I'm looking forward to going back again with real open eyes. We went for a little celebration, but this time to really get a full experience of the menu. I'm looking forward to that. They're out in New Milford.
Perfect.
Mine, honestly, I was going to say 11 Madison. I'm probably going to go anyway, even though I got the buyer beware. But there's something Steph and I have been wanting to get to, and it's in your hood, Kristen. It's Taproot.
Oh, what is it called?
Jeff Tabey's pop-up bushido.
So
we really want to cover that. And I ate a Taproot, you know, just for regular service, like in October. That was one of the better meals I've had in Connecticut all year long in 2018.
I continue to hear great things.
Oh, it's so fantastic. And Jeff is such a good chef. And, you know, you can tell he cares about what he does, like very deeply.
Yeah.
But I would definitely recommend you get in there soon, because we've got to get on that bushido.
Yeah, we really do.
It's like the Japanese pop-up, if people don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. That surname sounds familiar. Is he kin to Bill?
Yes, brother. Yeah, yeah. He was the opening chef at Colony.
Dig it.
Yes. That's him. Yes.
Right. I want to be a fly on the wall when you guys go, by the way.
Come with us.
Done.
Road trip.
Hello.
Road trip.
We are stamping our state of Connecticut passport. We take many. Between the four of us, hot dang, I think we've seen
a lot
of this state.
There are countless places.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say, if listeners, if you have anything you want to learn about here, interested in chatting about, please let us know. At email is hotdish@ctbytes.com.
Yeah. Thanks so much for playing. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you, too, for breaking bread and drinking bourbon.
Literally.
Literally breaking bread. That's the bourbon.
Exactly. And of course, we want to thank our sponsor, Norwalk Now. Don't forget to join us again at CT Bites Hot Dish.
Cheers.
Cheers.
And now a word from our sponsor. Norwalk Now invites you to experience a city on the move, featuring a melting pot of food cultures and truly unique dining destinations located throughout the coastal city of Norwalk, Connecticut. From quintessential New England fare and locally sourced seafood to low country cuisine, prime steaks, Italian favorites, Mexican eats, and high-spirited drinking wells, Norwalk Now is thrilled to introduce you to some of the best restaurants in the county. We invite you to visit norwalknow.org and meet some of the talented chefs, restaurateurs, and barkeeps who continue to raise the bar of our local dining scene. Get the most up-to-date restaurant news, special events, happy hour details, seasonal promotions, and so much more at norwalknow.org, where businesses come together to bring you their city in real time. You can also check out their events on Instagram and Facebook at norwalknow.org.